It's time now for Green Thumbs in Canterbury, out and about with the Canterbury Horticultural Society.
Ray and Lorraine from Canterbury Horticultural Society, out and about in Canterbury. And my goodness me, have we seen some funny weather.
We sure have. From really warm days to freezing freezing nights and mornings. Well, had it all, haven't
we? We've sure had it all. And I think last time I was talking to you, Lorraine, we're saying what beautiful warm weather. Well, goodness me, we've had some pretty awful weather too, haven't we?
We have a real mixture.
Yeah, we sure have. Spring. And what's been really disappointing was that the blossoms lasted such a short time.
Yes, with the wind,
that hot dry wind, wasn't it?
It sort of knocks them about, doesn't it?
Yep. And lots of people have been coming into the kiosk and saying, where can we find the blossom trees? And we've had to say, look, sorry, you've missed them.
Oh dear.
It's just sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
What have you been doing in your garden?
Well, we got that truckload of dirt last month, and so I've been busy putting that all around the place, all around our section, and splitting up plants, hostas and dahlias and all sorts. So I've been having a real good clear out, and also a lot of my pots I've been repotting. So, it's been wonderful. I've loved it.
You make me feel tired.
No, it's been wonderful.
It has been.
Had good days too.
It's been really good, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the temperatures have been considerably warmer overall.
Yes.
And so much more sun. I mean, we're miles ahead in sunshine.
Mm.
But of course, that means that we're way, way, way down in water.
That's right. Mm. So we're going to have to keep watering, especially new plants, to make sure they get a good start.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't often see them watering in the botanic gardens, but I see they have got hoses out nearly every day watering.
Right.
Which is so unusual. Normally, it doesn't happen like this.
No, because of the temperatures and the low water.
Oh, yeah. And that hot, dry wind that just sucks the life out of everything, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yeah.
However,
the
warning is, don't get too excited. I want to rush out, and my husband keeps saying, oh, I'm going to plant tomatoes. We could have another big frost. I mean, people tell me that it has snowed on show day.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I've been told that it snows. It has done that. So, we've got to be a bit careful.
We do. Keep your tomatoes under cover just yet.
Just yet. As Michael, our expert, says, if you plant your tomatoes out now, and you will get some early flowering, but the plant will actually abort those flowers.
Ah.
So they don't actually come to anything. Or usually, if you plant a couple of weeks later, you'll end up getting tomatoes earlier.
Mm.
So it's up to you. It's a challenge for people.
It is.
Yeah. Have a try. See what you think.
Yeah.
Okay. What else have you been doing?
Well, that's what I've been doing in the garden.
Oh, I haven't been doing a lot because I've been busy with so many other things. I've just now, all my bulbs, now my tulips and my daffodils look dreadful.
Mm.
And this is the time when we've got to be careful to leave the leaves on so that the bulb gets fed so it can set the flowers for next year.
That's right, and to keep watering, I heard.
Yes.
I didn't know that myself.
We've got to keep going watering for 6 weeks so that those bulbs can be set and we'll get beautiful flowering next year.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, I've only just learnt that myself.
Yes, I must have been. I thought, perhaps you keep watering for a week or two.
Yeah.
But now you've just got to keep them going, especially if they're in pots.
Yes.
I mean, I know with my pots, I'm just going to have to put them out under a tree somewhere out of sight because they're driving me up the wall.
Oh, okay.
They look so untidy.
Yes. Yeah. I've put some of mine in behind the shed. So
that's a sensible thing to do. Yeah. And then you bring out some other pots with other lovely plants in. So,
yes. I'll have to get a few annuals, I think, as well.
Yeah.
You need a few annuals, I think, for covering.
Something bright. Something bright and cheerful.
Petunias or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we're just going to listen to a couple of two Rachel's this morning.
We've got
Rachel Oliver and we've got Rachel Teen. So hopefully people enjoy what they've got to say.
Good morning. We are talking to Rachel Oliver this morning. Rachel is the CHS program coordinator, and she's been organising lots of things that are going to be coming up in the following months. So, Rachel, could you tell us some of the things that are happening?
Yes, we've got all kinds of different things for all kinds of different people. The first event is something for little people called Bok Tots. It starts from the 12th of October, and it's designed for family and whānau, grandparents, whoever's looking after preschoolers, to come into the kiosk and spend some time between about 10 and 11:30, just drop in any time, and take part in some activities that are horticulturally sort of based, nature and garden themed. So there'll be craft activities, putting up seeds. There'll be something different every week with some stories that are related to gardening and plants, and just activities and toys. And there'll be tea and coffee, and it's just by Koha. Just drop in, and if you're passing in the gardens, and have a look.
Is there a set age for this, Rachel?
Pretty much five and under. Okay. Anyone who isn't at school.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Adults as well. That's coming up, and that's just runs on Mondays from 10 till 11:30, and it's during term time. So mm-hmm. that's the first thing for small people.
Right, cool.
Then the next course we've organised is called The Art of the Indoor Plant. There's a real resurgence with indoor plants and macrame and all that kind of thing, bit of a 70s throwback. but we've got a guest tutor, Gillian Nichols from Wild Botanic in Ferry Mead. She's going to be coming in and running a four-week course that starts from the 5th of November in the evenings. And it covers everything from sort of just general plant maintenance, the types of species you can grow, and their needs in terms of light, watering, pests, diseases, all the kind of trauma that can go with when you're looking after your plant babies and wanting to give them the best shot at life. So we also are going to be making some little mini terrariums, showing the principles of that, and people will get to take one home. We cover propagation. Anyone who is addicted to indoor plants at the moment will know that they come with quite a hefty price tag sometimes. So we'll show people how to expand their collection cheaply, just using maybe the plants they've already got. We're going to, yes, indeed, try a bit of macrame just so you can hang your plants and show them off. And then Gillian, being an expert with floristry, and she has her own store specialising in indoor plants, she's going to show finally how to style your collection and make them look as good as possible.
Talking about the macrame, I used to do it in the 70s, and I loved doing macrame, and I had lots of plants in the macrame. I don't know quite what happened to them along the way, but yeah, I did enjoy it. So maybe I could come along too.
That would be great. We're just going to be doing a simple macrame hanger, just to kind of give people a taster and get them started, and using a lot of natural fibres and jute and cotton and wooden beads, and quite simple but quite effective. And the price, actually, I realised I didn't tell you, was we've got two prices. We have a price for members, which is $136, and that's for the four-week course, and non-members, which is $160. And there is a special offer, which includes the membership and the cost of courses. If you become a member for 2021, you do receive 15% off all of our courses. So it makes it really worthwhile, and you will take quite a few bits and pieces home from this course, this indoor plant course, the terrarium, propagated plants, and macrame hanger.
So they don't need to bring anything. It's all supplied.
Everything's provided. You literally just turn up, and there'll be refreshments and things as well each night. So
sounds good. Yeah. And so what else have you got organised or sorted?
We've got a few things sort of in the pipeline for later on this year. Maggie Croy is going to be running a course on hanging baskets during November. We're just confirming the times and the cost, but it's going to be hanging baskets in an English style. So they're going to be suitable for sun and shade, beautiful trailing plants, lots of colour. And that should be really great. That'll be an afternoon in November time, but there's more information to come for that.
So the hanging baskets, are they're inside or outside?
They'll be for outside.
Okay.
And she's got sort of the likes of petunias and lots of trailing lobelia, and so it'll be just a massive colour, and it will give people an idea of how to do it, so that they can go home and then create as many as they want. But the materials will be mostly provided, particularly the plants.
Mm.
But yeah, there'll be more information.
Cool. So they can put their own spin on it when they get home to whatever they want to do.
Yeah, that's the idea. But and just to learn the skills, basically, yes. And, mm-hmm. you know, the theory behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And then use it as they wish.
Right.
And then it's kind of like a speedy rush up to Christmas. I'm kind of surprised that it's October already, but so we've got a couple of Christmas courses that are being run by Shirley Russ, who I believe is quite a well-known local floral artist in the area, and she's going to be doing two seasonal courses. One is going to be a sort of door decoration, a sort of seasonal welcome, and people will be able to interpret that as they want. It doesn't have to just be a classic wreath. You can just use your creative flair. There will be living material to be used and embellished. And obviously the whole celebration will come with Christmas nibbles to accompany your creative Christmas zeal. And there's two courses. So the door decoration will run an evening course and will run a daytime course as well. And that's around about the end of November. So it'll have it in time for a whole December display in situ. The second course that she's running is with a focus on Christmas table settings and making centerpieces. Similarly, it will be a case of people exploring what can be done with the material that we provide or other things that they bring along. So it might be that you've got a particular vase that you love, or your grandmother's dish, or something that special that you want to bring from home that you can then embellish and add material to. And she will show you sort of tips and techniques. And again, there'll be Christmas nibbles, and it'll be a social affair, sort of quite laid back and fun. And you can bring your friends along and make it a bit of an outing. It'll be an evening event again and a daytime event, and that's towards the beginning of December, so something a bit closer to Christmas time. But opportunity to take ideas away and something that you can use and experiment with at home. Again, a lot of skills that you'll be learning to be able to use in the future.
Sounds good. And with us all having to be locked up for a wee while, I'm sure a lot of people are wanting to get out and do stuff like this.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity to meet with other people, like-minded people, and or catch up with friends, make it a bit of a gathering and a celebration. So the classes, some details for closer to Christmas are still being finalised, but you can book them online through chsgardens.co.nz. Or you will be able to phone into the office on 3666 937 to book your place, and payments required when you place your booking.
And so all of these are going to be held at the kiosk, are they?
Yep, that's correct. We're going to be using this fabulous space. At the moment it's wonderful in the Botanic Gardens. The bedding plants are amazing in front of the kiosk. I'm dazzled by the colours every time I walk in here to come to work. And it's such a beautiful space. So yeah, we're going to try and pack this building as much as we possibly can in the upcoming months. And we have lots of ideas for next year as well. We're looking at all kinds of things, from microgreens to more indoor plant classes, to really we're open to whatever people are interested in, particularly members. If they have ideas, I welcome anyone to come and approach me at All About Gardening or at another time, and share ideas for what they'd like to learn or experience or be part of.
Sounds really good.
Everyone is welcome to the courses. We encourage members and non-members alike. The more the merrier, and look forward to seeing as many people as possible.
And there's a couple of the things there that I'd really like to do myself. So is there going to be a number of people? Is there a limit of how many people?
With all the courses, they're limited. It's on average 15 to 16 people per workshop. And with the bot tots, as many little people as want to come.
Cool, that sounds really good. yes, we'll look forward to that. Thank you, Rachel.
This morning, we're very fortunate to have Rachel Teen with us. Rachel's a PhD candidate in the Waterways Centre at Canterbury University. What's your PhD topic, Rachel?
Hi, Ray. My PhD topic is titled Toward Water-Sensitive Cities and What Are the Ingredients for Sustainability Transitions?
Wow, that sounds a very full topic. How far into your PhD are you?
Fairly early stages. I'm 12 months in. I've just recently been confirmed that I've been given the green light that I can go ahead with this study, so that's good.
Oh, great. That's amazing, isn't it? So, and it's such an important topic. I mean, water, and I guess your topic isn't so much about us using water, but when you think how much water has to do with our whole lives, we wouldn't live off anywhere without water, would we, really?
That's right, yeah. Air is obviously our first priority, and then we can't live without water, that's right.
Exactly, yeah. So tell me, what is a water-sensitive city?
Okay, so a water-sensitive city is based on the holistic management of the water cycle, and that the water cycle can deliver basic services of supply and sanitation, and while also mitigating flood risk and protecting and enhancing the health of the receiving waterways. So a water-sensitive city needs to be managed so that it can deliver better health and well-being outcomes, and it recognises that a water-sensitive approach to urban development and urban design will deliver these objectives so that we live in a healthy city that is connected across communities, has cultural significance, and obviously takes into account our biodiversity.
Oh, yes, and because Christchurch is a city that's built on water, isn't it? So I guess,
it is, yes. You know, it's everywhere.
Yeah, yes. It's sort of near to our heart. We've got the estuary and the coastline and everything and all those things. I've seen that not only do we have water-sensitive cities, we have the water-sensitive urban design. Does that come up with developers and things, or is that just a concept, or what does it actually mean?
Yes, so I would consider water-sensitive urban design somewhat of a subset of water-sensitive cities. So that looks at how the city is designed, how we take water away from the city and how we bring it in, what we do with water when it rains, when it arrives to us within our catchment. So that's to do with mainly around stormwater or supply in terms of secondary water, like if we captured the water from our roofs or in order to use it for car washing or watering our gardens, obviously in the context of for your listeners. So water-sensitive urban design does that, whereas water-sensitive cities as a whole is also talking about how do we supply potable, good quality drinking water to the people that live in a city, and also how are we using water for in terms of our waste. So all the three waters, and then also the cultural elements as well. So yes, as I say, water sensitive urban design would be a subset.
Subset of it. Okay. Now, is this something that you've just dreamt up yourself and thought about, or is this part of a sort of a whole international movement? We in New Zealand being lucky enough to be part of an international movement, or where does it come from?
Okay, so this is a concept, and if you think of it, it's probably the origins are in how do we start managing our urban water and the issues that go with living in urban spaces. So obviously different cities have been thinking about this over the years, particularly back to, I don't know if you have heard of the Ramsar Convention that was signed in Iran in 1971, that looked at putting wetlands, or not putting them, but incorporating them into city environments and saying, hey, these are really valuable for our city environments, we need to hold on to them. So that's another concept of how to manage water. Then there's other things like blue-green cities. That's come out of the University of Nottingham in around 2013. And there's also other concepts like sponge cities. So different cities and different countries have been trying different things over the years, and the water sensitive city concept that I'm talking about has come out of the Cooperative Research Centre in Australia from the drought-ridden late 1990s and early 2000s, that 20-year period that they were severely restricted by drought. So people over there got together, and their government funding to say, what can we do about this? How do we stop this from happening, especially in cities like Adelaide and Melbourne and Perth? And a group was formed via the Australian government, and they teamed up with Monash University with academics there. So to put that sort of academic research and sound research, I guess, into what can we do to alleviate this situation. And so they realised that they need to deal with all three waters, as I said before, stormwater, wastewater and drinking water, and think about the city as a whole. So not just in different departments.
Yes,
Let's
understand.
Put the city together.
Yeah. Yes, and well, we're probably a bit more fortunate in New Zealand that we don't have that. Though we're getting drier, I know, but we don't have that absolute aridness that the Australians have. But you know, they just don't get rain. They don't have that much groundwater either, do they, really? It doesn't seem to be.
Yeah. No, they have a lot of salinity in their groundwater. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, you fly across Australia and look at, fly across Australia. Who can do that nowadays? But if you're used to. And you see the big salt pans, don't you?
Yes.
So,
exactly. So, definitely here in Canterbury and not so much in Auckland at the moment, our water quantity levels are good. However, our water quality issues, there are issues around that. And so in a city environment that obviously we know the issues around the rural environments, but in the city environment that can be things like copper brake pads, bits of copper coming off as we apply our brakes, going into our waterways. Eventually, you know, copper makes its way. Having copper spouting or copper roofs, which might look trendy, but it's not good for our waterways at all. Mm. Aluminium and zinc coating on our big roofs along Green Road, that industrial areas.
Yes.
And also just CO2 in the air that eventually that can get into water.
But I guess humans have had a lot of to do with this. We're pretty damn good polluters ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. I think from what I've just listed off, we are creating all of those issues. It's what we're doing with our buildings.
So, as we said, in Christchurch, we are lucky that we do have at least enough water. And then, I guess we have to trust our developers and all not to actually ruin any more than they have already. So, is there some way that this is going to change? Or,
well, I think what the council has been stipulating for developers to have to do to offset their developments, I think that's been quite progressive. And as that will be part of my study, is I'll be doing a cross-case comparison between three different cities, Townsville in Australia, up in Queensland, Auckland in the North Island, and Christchurch. And just comparing how water sensitive, according to this particular concept, these cities are. So Townsville has already signed up to the indexing process. They've done that, and they're now into sort of the second phase where they get water decision makers and strategists all in one room around the table to discuss the water management issues for the whole catchment of Townsville. So their regional government, their city government, and consultancies that work with those organisations. So they're workshopping at the moment. I think they're on their third one, and they're progressing towards becoming a water sensitive city. So it's a long term vision. It doesn't just happen in a 12 month period. It's, you know, there's legacies of old infrastructure that need to be dealt with, and money has already been spent on particular infrastructure, so that has to live out its lifetime. But it's having that much longer term look.
Yeah.
So I'll have a look at Auckland. As far as I know, they haven't taken up this concept.
Yes, they are real. I mean, their city's really hasn't done much for years, has it?
Well, in terms of water supply, obviously. Mm. Yeah,
and wastewater water and things,
That's right, into the bays and things. So, so really old infrastructure, but, you know, hey, that's an opportunity, I guess, to maybe get it right.
And Christchurch, of course, we've had our infrastructure upgrade.
Yes, that's right. So, definitely, and that was out of a disaster with the earthquakes, and that really would have given councillors and the strategists and decision makers an opportunity, I guess, to look at how they can be managing the water for city dwellers. Yeah, so my study will also look to see, so what have we been doing in Christchurch in terms of the city council, ECAN, and also consultancies that work in and advise them as well.
It's good to know it's happening, and it's good to know that we'll still be able to water our gardens eventually, and things like that. Well, Rachel, thank you so much. It's been great to have a chat, and it's such so interesting to hear what's happening behind the scenes with these things.
Mm. Great. Yeah, so thank you very much for having me.
And
thank you.
All the very best for your PhD as well.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, they were great, those two girls, weren't they?
They were.
Amazing. The whole water study is going to be fascinating.
Oh, sure is.
Yeah. I've asked her to come back perhaps next year when she's got some really definite data, because, as we said, it's so important.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And it'll be good to see, good to hear about what's happening.
Yeah, it will be.
Really good. Yeah.
So, And Rachel Oliver.
Rachel Oliver. She's got some good things coming up for the CHS members.
And the public too.
Oh, and the public as well. Anyone is welcome to come to the kiosk. So if you want to look online on our website, and you'll find the details there. And so anyone's welcome.
That's right. And you can book online, or you can just ring the office.
Yes.
And the details are all on the website, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. And so there's going to be the pot plant workshop and some Christmas activities coming up, and that's not far away, is it?
Oh, Ray, no. Ray. I know. It's scary to think how quickly it's coming up on us, isn't it?
Yes. Where's the time going?
So, and Rachel Teen, of course, is going to be speaking at the Canterbury Horticultural Society in the kiosk at All About Gardening on Monday the 2nd of November. I think Monday's the 2nd and Tuesday morning the 3rd. Mm. And if anybody's interested in it, come along and meet her. She's a very vibrant young lady.
She is.
It'd be great. So it's good to know these things are happening.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. All right. If anyone's got any questions or want to follow up with anything, don't forget you can contact us through info@plainsfm.org.nz or give a call on 365-7997, and we'll do our best to find out things for you. Well, Lorraine, back to the garden.
Great.